Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Well, this week, the USDA dropped a big corn crop on the trade. The Gulf says, well, it's being fixed. And it appears the bins around the nation are still filled with last year's a record 11.8 billion bushel corn crop, and that LDP seems to be the only game in town. We'll find out if there are any other options for corn farmers to market their grain today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises. Our panelists today are Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois, and Bill Mayer of Ag Commodities, Roach Ag Commodities, that is, out of Lexington, Illinois. Well, gentlemen, let's open the discussion with this question. Is there any reason for corn farmers in Illinois and Indiana, even for that matter in Iowa, not to take the LDP that's more than 40 cents? Clayton Pope?
I guess the question I'd ask is there any reason to take it? It's a large amount, sure, but we're clearly in a downtrend. Harvest has barely begun. The bulk of it, the peak of harvest, so to speak, is obviously ahead of us. Basis usually weakens going into that. So seems like one of the hardest things to do in commodity trading in general is to sit on a winner. And it seems like we've got a winner here with the LDP, and I'm not in a hurry to take it unless obviously we have a day where corn's up 5 or 10 cents or something like that.
And Clayton Pope is with Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois. Bill Mayer with Roach Ag Commodities out of Lexington, Illinois.
Well, I think that the one thing that you have to look at why not to take it is because of if you may want to use the loan to generate some cash. I think right off the bat, I'll say that I think right now with the basis levels on corn and beans both, that the last thing that you want to do is sell cash corn at these kind of cash levels that we have right now. So I believe that you may need to look at the loan program to generate some cash, and that would be one reason not to take it. But I'm on the side of going ahead and getting the LDP locked in at these kind of levels. That's not to say that you don't go out and get some sales made in the deferred or make some hedges or use some puts.
And if I read this right, and I think that Daryl Good mentioned this in his weekly column this week, that the LDP was much more generous at this point than actual than it actually maybe should be.
Yeah, it's gone from about 25 cents in our area, I'm talking now, which is up near Bloomington, Illinois, in McLean County. We were about 25 cents. In other words, if you took the LDP and added on to the cash price, you're about 25 cents over loan, where now it's about 12 cents. So that started to change, and I think that'll continue to change. Either the cash bids will go down and the LDP will stay the same, or, you know, the LDP will not adjust the same as the cash bids. But I don't know that it's so far out of whack when you look at all the bids in Illinois. And if you take the river into consideration, in fact, I looked at Morris, Illinois this morning. They actually came out less than loan when you added that in. So when you take the average prices in Illinois with the river included, I think that that's what's keeping it down.
And I think that maybe is the center of discussion we need to stay with for just a second, is that in fact, as Daryl alluded to in his weekly outlook, that in some places you could have LDP in your cash price and end up with a 20 cents over what the loan rate is. But you're suggesting that this thing might still widen out yet, I suppose.
Well, I think the single biggest determining factor is of course, flat price. Not only the cash price and basis, but obviously, you know, the futures that we end up with every day. I know there's an awful lot of discussion, and there's the USDA has these various adjustment factors, and they have several cash markets they can use in a calculation, and they're not in the habit of giving money away, I guess. Maybe that's arguable, but it seems to me, though, that they've already taken some of it away, like Bill said. Like, for example, the day of the report, corn was down about a nickel. The next day, the LDP was unchanged. So you got a little bit of sleight of hand that can certainly take place there. as maybe that 10 or 12 cent over compensation, if you want to call it that, is whittled away. But still, when all is said and done, it just seems to me that you've got an excellent chance of corn still weakening on the board, and as such, especially when you have that one-day delay to your advantage, you know, why not wait until, number one, there's a big rally in the corn market, or number two, you actually do see some evidence of USDA wanting to take out that adjustment.
In fact, the numbers this week from USDA look like this. Last in August, a 10.35 billion bushel crop was predicted for the corn. This month, USDA adjusted that up to 10.639 billion bushels. Early reports from Harvest suggested that's probably closer than the 10.3 may have been. And when we talked with USDA, they simply said, well, the fruit weights were a lot heavier, and I think that has surprised almost everybody across the Midwest.
Yeah, it surprised me, and I'd be not telling the truth if I said it didn't. And with the jump in production, I mean, that's the biggest jump in production between August and September we've ever had, at least going back 20 years in our database. And I just, you know, can't say that it was out of the range of guesses. And I think everybody expected, after they started seeing some of the early yields, that it was probably going to go higher yield-wise. But I don't think anybody expected a 4 bushel per acre jump on a one-month change.
You're an elevator man there in Lexington, Illinois. I have another question for you, because we talked about this a lot during the summer months as we got into the late session where we had the corn rally and Decatur was looking for corn and the bins were empty, and we really kind of thought that the Eastern Corn Belt might be empty as well. But apparently the elevators were hedging themselves out, thinking, well, if it's going to be short crop, we need to have our bins a bit full. So they were hanging on to it. Is that the right?
Yeah, I think you got into the middle of June, end of June there, and I think there's a lot of elevator shipping making room for the new crop. And then when the drought took hold and we saw things deteriorating, I believe that you saw a lot of elevators that actually even went in and bought back some sales they'd made and quit shipping for sure, and started filling up space. I mean, there's a lot of space built in Illinois in anticipation of trying to hold the crop from last year, plus, you know, this new crop that was going to, at that time, didn't know how big it was going to be. And I think that's why we have ended up here with some pretty full space.
Yeah, logistically, what kind of problems does that create in the whole scheme?
Well, I'm kind of a devil's advocate, I guess, on that. I believe that if we're looking at a problem long enough, I think that usually it gets solved. And if we really step back and look at it, the crop that we or the stocks that we have after harvest gets over this year are actually going to be a little bit less in Illinois, and we had the ability to get that stuff put away in hard space earlier on. So I guess I think the crop, the harvest in Illinois is going to be, and the East is going to be fairly orderly myself. I think everybody's anticipating the problems, and they're, you know, we're selling the elevator managers short if we don't think they can handle that situation.
Anything to add on that discussion?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get it moved, and there's been a lot of discussion in the last few weeks over, you know, just how quick it'll take to put New Orleans back together and all that, and at first it seemed like it was happening, you know, just incredibly fast, certainly faster than I thought it was going to, but now it turns out that, I mean, there's always other little problems popping up and so forth, and it seems like at this point there's somewhat of a shortage of barges to ship the stuff down with, so they were kind of lost in action from the flood. But it just seems to me that if at the very least this problem is going to kind of exacerbate or exaggerate the normal harvest glut is, and tend to make it a little worse and probably provide for a little deeper depth of the LDP or basis levels in the process.
Tell me how.
That's an excellent point, Clayton, and that's the one thing that's in there that wasn't anticipated, that's for sure.
Tell me, how low do you think corn may go as we get into harvest season?
Flat price on December?
Yep.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people talk about $1.95. I certainly think that's achievable. But what scares me, though, is with that LDP mechanism out there, it becomes a less than like true market. And really anything can happen. You know, for example, right now the corn market could rally or break 10 or 20 cents, and or you know, 20 or 30, actually 40 cents, and it literally makes no difference to the farmer as far as his bottom line, unless he's scalping the LDP correctly, which is obviously easier said than done. So anyway, to answer your question, I think there's a chance, and that's what you've always got to consider, that you could at least temporarily get a much more drastic decline than people are calling for. And who knows, maybe $1.80 or something like that, I don't think is absolutely out of the question.
And if you listened on Friday afternoon, Zuzulo was far more bearish than I'd heard him or anybody else for a while. And that $1.80 figure actually picked up, talked about the $1.95 and $1.90 or dollar right there in that $1.90 area where the current low is for the DEIS contract. And I guess the question really is, what do farmers do? Is there anything that they can do to manage this other than with LDP?
Well, I think that you have to look out there to the carry in the market. And, you know, most of your analysts that we've heard on the programs here and on the daily programs are looking at this. There is some pretty good carry in the market, and probably the best way to take advantage of it is go out there and hedge the futures out in the deferred months. But even in some areas, there's some pretty decent carry in the cash market. You can go out and sell river open, for example, along the river at some pretty good levels when you add in that 44 cent LDP or whatever it happens to be at the time. I think that you have to don't just take the LDP and just put it in storage and hope that it's there. But I'm of the feeling that the basis is wide enough that we should see at least enough improvement in the basis over the post-harvest period that you should see that storage that you have to pay it in commercial storage even paid for by basis improvement.
Clayton, I want to pick your mind just a bit on this lower end or being bearish the market. We have just about the same size supply this year as last year now at that 12.7 billion bushels. This year 12.774, last year 12.775, so they're right on the money with each other. Usage last year at 10.65 billion. Usage this year now at 10.695. So the usage is not there that far apart either. And the thing that most people were surprised by last year was the ability of corn to actually hang fairly tough. So that in the corn market, you know, we did go to $1.90, but we didn't really go any lower than that. And so the question is, why did that happen, I suppose? And were the analysts just too bearish up front, and are you too bearish now?
Maybe. Yeah. Well, first of all, as far as being too bearish now, I want to say I'm not saying corn's going to go to $1.80. I just think that it's kind of our job to consider the risks that are out there and try to come up with strategies to protect against them. But and I think maybe the most important thing in all this is maybe not what the downside is right now, but in my opinion, probably at least as important is I just don't think there's much upside for the foreseeable future, really. We've got a darn big carryover, and that says a lot, I think. But anyway, to answer your question, I guess one difference between last year and this year is I think there's an awful lot more bushels this year that remain unsold as of this date, you know, compared to last year. And maybe that's possibly why the bottom didn't fall out more last year, because an awful lot of forward sales had been done already by this point, and so you didn't have all that everybody rushing for the exit door at the same time that it seems like in comparison you have this year.
One other note on this and comparisons between last year and this year. Harvested acres last year at 73.6 million. This year they're at 74.3. And if we have a decent year next year, they'll probably be that high. Anybody want to argue with that harvested acres number, by the way, based on
I guess I still, you know that I have in past shows.
Yeah.
I still think there's some reduction in acreage to be made in the harvested acres. Didn't make it on this report, but I think we will see some reductions. Maybe not. We were thinking half a million to 750,000. Maybe not that large, but I think there's still some reduction to be had there.
All right. Turn your attention to the soybean market at this point. We heard some pretty dire predictions out of the soybean market, at least off our website. We were off the air for a good portion of the week on the radio side, but we did the closing market report and all the rest of the ag programming throughout the day. So if you had access to the computer, you were able to get to everything that we normally produce. And we heard some, some pretty low predictions, closer to that $5.50 area, and the bean market did drop for the week. And what did you make of this marketplace for the beans for the week, Clayton?
Well, pretty nasty. I mean, it started off Monday, and then it kind of went sideways for 3 days or so, and then got hit pretty good on Thursday, and pretty anemic bounce, I guess, on Friday. But I don't know. It seems like when you start hearing this real dire talk of, you know, $5 beans or worse, you got to take it with a grain of salt, I think. And sometimes, you know, from a contrarian standpoint, it seems like the more dire predictions you start to hear, you begin to think maybe we're closer to the low than what most people think. But, you know, we got to remember it's a 205 million bushel carryover, which is, you know, it's way bigger than what we thought it was going to be a few weeks ago, let alone a couple months ago. But on the other hand, 205 is not nearly as exorbitant of a carryover as, for example, the 2 billion plus in corn, relatively speaking. And you also have some action going in some outside markets, like silver was up 20 cents Friday. Gold made a, I don't know, 13 or 15-year high. I remember a few months ago, these index funds were falling all over themselves to buy tangible commodities. You know, at some point, there's value in grains, even if you do have, you know, a larger carryover than expected. So I'm thinking that, you know, 5 or 520, it probably isn't going to happen.
Yeah, and just as a comparison sake, he's mentioned that we had a 205 million bushel carryover expected for this current coming year. Current carryover at 295 for the ending stocks for the current year. So we're down pretty sharply, which means that there's less left over at the end of the season by the time we get to this time next fall. Production, by the way, from USDA for the soybeans at 2.856 billion bushels. That compares with the August figure of a 279 and last year's total production of a 3.141 billion bushel crop. What do you do with soybeans?
Well, I guess I said earlier, I think the last resort is trying to sell anything in these kind of weak cash markets. If you'd happen to get some kind of a bounce here, I think you sure take advantage of getting some beans sold if you haven't gotten any sold. But I think storage is the way to go on the soybeans. I think your situation on beans won't be like corn, where you do have corn piled on the ground, and that you'll have the beans put away, and once they get put away, that basis typically between November 1st and Thanksgiving comes back pretty fast. So I think that's the period that you're looking for. I also realize I'm not naive enough to realize that there's not farmers who have to make cash sales and get cash flow, or may have forced sales at elevators. And if that's the case, I think you know, try to look for the best price you can get here within the next few days, and don't necessarily wait for the beans to come in to get them done.
Am I right? Are you storing both corn and soybeans
at this point with these kind of levels?
And Clayton?
Well, like Bill said, the worst thing you could do right now would be to dump the cash, although some guys aren't going to have any choice in the matter. But basis levels are just turning out to be so obscene that that should be avoided at all costs, I think. But I'm all for storing it. It's obviously on farm. It's a no-brainer. But with a big caveat, I do not want to store anything without having a safety net in place with an option strategy, because you know, somewhere around the peak of harvest, if not before, you're going to be taking your LDP in the corn in all likelihood. And I do not think it's wise to sit there with a bunch of inventory, even if you did just get 45-cent LDP. Like Bill said earlier, I mean, there's some great strategies available out there using options. And the same thing would go for beans. I mean, there's going to be a phenomenal basis improvement ride here in the next 2 to 4 months. But that doesn't mean anything as far as flat price goes, and I would not be unhedged.
Let's take a look at the numbers, and I haven't gone through these just yet, so we'll go through all of them very quickly. From the Chicago Board of Trade this week, wheat December contract had a high of 327.5, the low at 306. December wheat settled at 324.25. They were up 11.25. July futures at 350.5 were up 0.75. By the way, new lead option, so the December contracts on all of these are a change from last week, and the lead option expired. Corn futures December contract at 208, high low at 195. Dease corn up 3.25 from last week's settlement on the September contract at 206.25. November beans rather, 581.75 the high, the low at 566.25. The new lead November at 571.25, down 9.25 from last week. July beans were off 19.75 at 596.25. From the Merck, the October live cattle 86.60 the high, the low at 84.92.5. They settled 86.07.5, were up a buck 25 in the 7. September's were up 30 cents at 114.87.5. The lean hogs October contract at 65.47.5 on the high. The low at 63.37.5. The October lean hogs at 64.50 were down 25. And the bellies at 81.30 were down 92. One other contract from the Board of Trade, December oats at 160.25 were up 9.75. I think we'll forego the weather forecast because we spent so much time in the early session of this program. And we'll get straight to Glenn Ring, who is with Glenn Ring Enterprises, joining us now to take a look at the rest of this commodity market. Thanks much, Glenn, for being on the air with us today.
It's good to be on again.
And tell me about options. We talked about these a little bit. You have an option strategy for corn and soybeans that you'd like to share?
Well, right now what I'm telling my people to do is when they get worried about protecting their LDPs, to look at doing some call option spreads because that way if we go on down, everything's going to expire worthless, and if we go up, they don't have a lot invested in them. So we're doing things like selling at-the-money calls and buying two out of the money, one or two strikes out, depending upon the market. December contract in corn, we're mostly worrying about, do we get caught by a surprise this fall? On the other hand, we're trying to do the same thing. I just have to pretty much concur with a lot of what's being said already about, the trend is your friend right now on the LDPs. We're headed down in the markets until proven otherwise. One thing I'm noticing, though, I'm a student of market behavior. And I see the situation in the grain complex, corn and beans in particular, looking a lot like the hogs did in late 1998, where we really did have a logistical problem in the heart of the corn belt coming in the grains like we did in the hogs, where we plugged the packing houses. And a lot of people remember how severely deep hogs got, and particularly in the cash market, because, futures got down around 20, 22 in the nearbys, and cash hogs got down around $8. Well, huge basis. Well, they plugged the packing plants. They had some packers shut down, and people panicked and dumped. I see a possibility there because I've got producers that are having a hard time getting rid of last year's crop corn already. The elevators just won't take it.
Well, that's a pretty dire prediction. What kind of downside might you have if this were to come to fruition? I mean,
well,
because 98 and 2002 were just extraordinary for the hog market. I mean,
yep.
You had hogs going to market for, 6 cents a pound if they were old.
Yeah. No, it reminds me of an ad I saw in the when I was doing market research in 1932 in a newspaper where they were buying shell corn for 8 cents a bushel and 10 cents less if on the cob, and that's what, I'm sure it was their standard discount, but that's the way it was. No, it is kind of it's a dire warning, but I think it's a great, if you know it, if you got your eyes wide open, there's opportunities here. Number one, it gives you a chance of a huge LDP opportunity, and at some point we're going to snap back. I think we might get our low in the cash market before we get the low in the futures markets. We may get the low in the cash market, in corn during November, but I'm wondering if we might not need to try have the risk of deliveries against the December contract to clear some of the corn. And actually have December go off on its lows. And it's been known to do that in years like this. So my dire prediction, December corn, well, I don't make predictions. I respect levels. If we can get below $1.98, the $1.91, $1.81, $1.60, $1.50 all show up. If this week's gap in December corn proves to be a measuring gap, it puts you to the $1.50 level in the futures. So... I just call it as I see it. Trends down. I am a little worried about people getting a little too bearish. But, I think one of the things we had happen in the markets today was we had a rally in wheat. We had a week-long rally in wheat in Kansas City and Minneapolis, and they rallied right into a timing turn and then stalled out today. If wheat starts down, I think the whole complex could go.
Glenn, I'd like to kind of shift gears here a little bit and look at some of the – it seems like the one thing we have going for us is that we do have pretty strong demand, continued good demand on the corn. What do you see from the energy standpoint with these high levels, energy cost, world economics? Are we going to eventually cut into our demand because of high energy?
That's an interesting question. And are we going to offset it by the increased ethanol production, et cetera? And that's a question I don't even know how to answer. It's an unknown that's shaken out. I think what we really have a situation here is a long-term outlook and a short-term or an intermediate-term outlook. Intermediate-term I'd define between now and, say, the end of winter, where I really think the logistics in the Midwest could be a real problem. you know, we're having trouble getting trains over here even because of the heavy coal demand is, you know, commanding the locomotives to pull the trains. But long term, I'm still somewhat inflationary on grains, long term, ultimately long term, let's say later next year and then beyond, because I do think that by bringing prices down here again that we're going to keep usage up in the long term. But, boy, I think we could get kicked in the knees for 6 months.
Glenn, that kind of segs into a question I've been looking forward to asking you, because I know you do an awful lot of work on outside markets. The CRB, I think last time that we spoke on this program, we were talking about inflation versus deflation and so forth. But what would be your comments if the CRB is peaking out here, which I think you could argue that it is? I mean, you know, we're up at multi-year highs.
Sure.
And it's very worrisome that you've got these grain markets so depressed, even with the CRB so high. So what would be the implications if the CRB, you know, went into a 20 or 30% decline or worse? I mean, I guess that's exactly what you're talking about. You could get, you know, an ugly 6 months.
Well, I think one thing that we've been able to see going on in here, consider the incredible run-up that we've had in the energy prices in the late summer. And yet the CRB has not gone markedly above the spring high. That tells you that you're robbing Peter to pay Paul in the commodity markets. That the CRB barely went to new highs, and if energies went to record highs, that somebody else had to give. I actually think, and by the way, I confirmed the top in gasoline today. Technically, I mean the top. I confirmed it today in gasoline. That, you know, nothing's absolute, but it's been. But if that's true, over time we're going to take a lot of pressure, the energy pressure, back off of this. And that could allow some money to start rotating back into other commodities again over time. But like I say, this could be a six-month window before that happens, or before we really see it. So I think initially, to really address your specific point, if the CRB were to plunge, and there's a good argument that it could, I think initially it could add to the psychological pressure on the grains before it turns around and becomes a positive. Because, hey, if you get something oversold, I'll consider the hog market again as I use an example. When we slammed the futures down, of the $22 we lost in about 6 weeks in the futures, in the next 6 weeks we'd gained 20 of them back, back in 98, 99. So in other words, I think we could get a spike low in the grains this fall and winter on a long-term chart.
We appreciate you being with us today, Glenn.
You're welcome.
Glenn Ring is with Glenn Ring Enterprises. Join us here today on Commodity Week. Our guests have been Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities, panelist here in studio with us of Champaign, Illinois, and Bill Mayer of Broach Ag Commodities out of Lexington, Illinois. A final word from you, Bill.
I think that as you go through harvest here, a lot depends on what you've done up prior to harvest as far as your marketing forward, and make sure that you talk to your broker and your advisor and lay out your plan here over the next 6 months, just like you do going into the summer, because it's important that you make those inventory decisions at harvest time under the right thought process.
And Clayton Pope.
Well, the whole point in risk management is that you don't know what prices are going to do. As such, I think it's important to protect the downside but preserve the options for future appreciation. So I would use an option strategy to give you that safety net.
That's this week's edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.